Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Well, today's Wednesday, and we are making our way through this text, Revelation 17:5. It reads, "And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." The series title is Mystery Babylon, the End Time Enemy of the Lord's Church. Let us pray. Dear Lord, dear God, yes, if there's something that we needed in this hour, it is Jesus. Oh, how we love Jesus. Oh, how we need Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come to the Father in your name because you told us, you instructed us to do so. And now, Father, we come to you by the merits of Christ, and we come asking for blessing as we sit around your glorious, bountiful, refreshing table, a table of fresh manna from heaven. Holy Spirit, bless us today as we make our way through this text. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For several weeks now, we've been reminding everyone that the strangers are coming. Who were the strangers for Ephraim? The Assyrians. Who were the strangers for Judah? The Babylonians of Nebuchadnezzar's day. Who are the strangers, the foreigners, and invaders of our time? Those who represent Babylon, the great whore, the mother of harlots. Mystery Babylon is trying to enter every evangelical church via the Trojan horse called ecumenism. There's a great, great ecumenical movement afoot throughout the whole earth, where Rome is trying to kiss and make up with all of the Protestant denominations. Many, like the Lutherans who started the Protestant Reformation, have already kissed and made up with Rome. Following the Lutherans have been many, many, many other denominations who have stopped protesting and have reconciled with the great harlot. We Christians can't do that, for ecumenism is not true spiritual unity. There can be no unity between Christ and Satan. The head of the harlot church is none other than Satan. And the church, the head of today's church, the true church, is none other than Jesus Christ. And they have nothing in common. For what concord does Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14? What concord, what agreement can there be between Christ and Belial, between Christ and nasty, filthy, polluted Satan? And the obvious answer to the rhetorical question is none. There can be no unity. There can be no peace treaty. There can be no amistad. None. None. You just can't. So, we're looking at this phrase now on Wednesday called the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots. Why is Rome, why is the apostate church of Rome, remember we left off yesterday talking about pagan imperial Rome, pagan imperial Rome transitioned and became pagan papal Rome. And now pagan papal Rome is again morphing into pagan ecumenical Rome. Pagan ecumenical Rome. The Rome that has her arms out because she is the great whore, inviting all to come into her bordello, to come into her house of ill repute. By term mother, she's called the mother of what? The mother of harlots. A mother is one who conceives. I hope you're writing this down. A mother, you know, they asked the other day, one of the lady who is wanting to be the Supreme Court justice, what is a woman? And she danced around the question and never gave an answer. So what's a mother? What's a mother? A mother is one who conceives. The first step of motherhood is conception. Then a mother gives birth. Then a mother nurses. So first you conceive, then you give birth, then you nurse. You nurse, you give suckle. Then a mother trains her children. She trains her children. She schools her children. So again, one, conception. Two, birth. Three, nurses, nurtures. Fourth, trains, school. She schools them. She mentors them. And then lastly, she works. She is the mother of harlots. She's a madam, is what she is. Someone who does this, who is of the male gender, is called the pimp. She is a madam, a global spiritual madam, totally unfaithful to God. So she's the mother of harlots, the mother of harlots. Harlots are false teachers, false teachers who go out into the world and they seduce like Delilah seduced Samson. Remember how Samson went to Delilah? She was a harlot. And her job, remember, Delilah was a woman of ill repute. She was hired by the five lords of the Philistines to find out, to first of all, seduce Samson into her arms and then get out of him the secret to his power. She debilitated him, which is what strangers do, and then she's a complete femme fatale in that she brought about Samson's demise. Mystery Babylon is sending her prostitutes out into the world to bring about the demise of those who worship the Lord. She, by sending out her prostitutes, her daughters, her sons, because prostitutes are male and female. There were male harlots. Yes, they were. They're called gigolos. So she's the mother of male and female. She gives birth after conceiving. She gives them suckle. She raises them. She trains them in the skills of seduction. And then she sends them out to do her polluting work. What are they pushing? Well, they're pushing false religions. False, which we're going to get into tomorrow. As you can see there in your outline with the coexist sign that I put there, I cut and pasted there for you. Those are the abominations of the earth, the false religions. So the prostitutes carry with them these false religions. They introduce them to men. They seduce them by these false religions and bring about their eternal destruction. Now, here we have a picture. This is a picture of a bordello or a whore house or a house of ill repute in the days of Rome. The young ladies sitting at the bottom of the picture, they're waiting to be called up. They're waiting to be called up. As you can see on the left-hand side, there's a man with his arm stretched out. That's the auctioneer. As you can also see, there's a young lady standing with her back towards us with a veil over her head. That is a prostitute showing her wares. There's a man standing next to the prostitute, and he is asking her to pose, as the men in the crowd are asking for certain poses. The auctioneer has a price in mind. This is a house of ill repute. and here the men come to receive a prostitute or to pay for a prostitute. This was common in Rome. Now, why do we know that this prostitute here, spoken of in Revelation 17:5, is the Roman Catholic Church? Why do we know that? Well, let's look at the internal evidence of the text. Let's look at a few things here, just so that we can understand that this is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. It says here in verse number 5, and upon her forehead was a name written. Now, only among the Romans, this was a practice only among the Romans, exclusively a Roman practice. If you entered into a whorehouse in Rome, you didn't ask the young lady or the young man what was his name. You didn't have to. Why? Because they always wore a bandana on their foreheads, and that bandana had their names written on it. You didn't have to ask, are you Julie? What's your name? Are you Marcia? You never had to ask the name of the male or female prostitute, because Roman prostitutes always wore their name on a bandana on their head for easy identification. If you saw that, you knew the person was a what? A prostitute that was what? Open for business. Open for business. So, the second thing we know is it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. Again, Babylon is code, as we saw yesterday, Peter writing from Rome, says the church in Babylon salutes you, but at that time in church history, Babylon was code for the Roman capital, or the capital of Italy, which was Rome. So Peter was writing from where? From Rome. Also, please note, in Revelation 17:18, just so that you don't think that the prostitute is indeed a literal woman, if you go to Revelation 17:18, it tells you, the woman which thou sawest is not a woman, but a great city. See, the Bible here in Revelation 17:5 is not speaking about a literal woman who has literal children. No, this is figurative language, metaphorical language, apocalyptic imagery, if you will. The woman is indeed a city, and no other city fits this description as Rome does. Remember, it is the city that sits on seven mountains or seven hills. Only one city in all of antiquity filled that description, and that is none other than, at that time, Imperial Rome, which later on became Papal Rome, which later on becomes what? It becomes the Rome of the ecumenical movement, the end time, open arms, ecumenical movement where all religions are accepted. Now, let's look at a few more other things about Great Harlot. First of all, write this down. She's a great city, according to Revelation 17:18. She's a great city. Therefore, she is not a literal woman. Also, she has great power. Now, haven't you noticed that all of our presidents go to Rome to have an audience with the Pope? Every time a leader gets elected in Europe, he must go to the Vatican to see the Pope. The Pope doesn't go to them when they're elected. When they are elected, they seek an audience with the Pope. So one, it's a great city, and number two, of great power. Also, we're told, based on Revelation 17:18, that the woman rules over the kings of the earth. She rules. You know, our founding fathers, when they left England, you know, the pilgrims, when they first landed on Plymouth Rock, and those who followed the pilgrims, when they came here, they made a pledge among themselves. They made this pledge as they left England, and they made the pledge once they landed in America. They said two things. No king, because this is why they fled England. They wanted no monarch. No king and no pope. Why no pope? Well, because the pope at the time ruled all the kings of the earth. She ruled them all. The popes of the Middle Ages had all the kings under their thumb, under their sway. So again, the woman is a great city which possesses great power, and the woman rules all the kings of the earth. If you're still taking notes, this woman commits fornication, kings of the earth. That's Revelation 17:2. It says, let's read verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had one of the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore, who sits upon many waters or many peoples. She's a global entity. She covers the seven seas. So much, so great is her power. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. In other words, all the kings of the earth are in bed with the Vatican. They're in bed. They commit fornication. They commit. The moment you go before the Pope and you kiss his ring, that is idolatry. Worship means you only see the word worship. Whether it's the Hebrew word for worship or the Greek word for worship, when you worship God, it means you bow before God, like the Greek word proskuneo. Pros is the preposition which means you're drawing near. Pros and kuneo, kiss. You draw near to God and you kiss him. Notice, when the kings of the earth come to meet the Pope, he extends his hand and they kiss his hand. That's worship. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. What kind of fornication? Spiritual fornication, for the sin is idolatry. Also, we need to remember that the woman is drunk with the blood of the saints. That is Revelation 17:6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. No other entity in all, listen, no, I'm going to say this, and I need you to understand this. No other entity in human history has persecuted the church more than Papal Rome. No other institution on the face of the earth. You listen, Papal Rome's persecutions of the church dwarf the persecutions imposed upon the church by the Caesars. The imperial persecutions were nothing compared to the persecutions upon Christ's true church by Papal Rome. Papal Rome has been drinking the blood of the saints. I don't know if you know this, but Billy Graham's association, and of course Billy Graham signed off on this, when Billy Graham was going to celebrate an anniversary of the Billy Graham Association and ministry, he asked the family of Mr. Haley, who wrote the Haley Bible Handbook. He asked the family, because Mr. Haley had already died, he said, I would like to put out a new edition of the Haley Bible Handbook. He says, there's one caveat. I want to put out a new edition, but that huge section which your father put in there about all the persecutions by the Roman Catholic upon the Protestants, I want that deleted. I want that taken out in my edition. All of that wonderful information, all of those historical footnotes that were of great value to us Protestants, it was an accurate record of the persecution of Papal Rome against the Protestant churches of Europe. Billy Graham says, that's got to come out, because Billy Graham was in bed with the Pope. Billy Graham was a good friend of John Paul II. And so he said, I don't want to offend our Catholic brothers, so this needs to come out. And, of course, the Haley family caved in and let him do it, which was a sad day. A sad day in publishing, to take their father's book and to allow someone to edit such valuable information. But if you have an old edition of the Haley Bible Handbook, if you have one of those great editions of it, boy, there is a section in there in the back with all of this pertinent information that shows that Papal Rome indeed fits the description of the mother of harlots who is drunk with the blood of the saints. But that's not the only scripture. If you go to Revelation 18:24, it says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. That, my brothers and sisters, is the great harlot. She has shed the blood of God's preachers and prophets and God's holy people. Those who would not succumb to her harlotries and to her false teachings, she slaughtered by the tens of thousands. She wiped out cities galore. Now, finally, as I said, the woman is a great city. We know that's the Vatican, that this city sways great power based on Revelation 18:10. That also is true, because all the kings of the earth must go to the Vatican. The Vatican rules the kings of the earth. That this woman has the kings of the earth commit spiritual fornication with her? Yes, they do, because every politician, every monarch, every head of state that goes to Rome must bow before the Pope. That's the condition. And kiss the ring, which is spiritual fornication. It is idolatry. That she is drunk with the blood of the saints, history testifies abundantly to that fact. But finally, the woman rides upon the beast. Rome's heyday, the Vatican's heyday, is future. As soon as Antichrist arises, as soon as Antichrist appears on the world scene, the Roman Catholic Church will be mounted in partnership with the Antichrist and the beast. And she will ride high upon the beast's shoulders. And the beast, for a season, will give her great power and authority. And he will allow himself to be mounted by her in order to have the world worship him as the ultimate ecumenical deity that he desires to be. In exchange for the worship that he will get, as Rome points people to him, he will allow Rome to ride on his shoulders. Once that's fulfilled, once he gets out of Rome what he wants, he will then turn on Rome and destroy it, as the book of Revelation reveals. So she is the great harlot. Rome is. So, I hope you were blessed. I hope you took notes. We will continue tomorrow to make our case, and there is no doubt that Mystery Babylon is on the move. Mystery Babylon is on the march. Mystery Babylon is invading all of evangelicalism, all of it, with open arms saying, we're no longer enemies, we are now friends. But that's in order to do what Delilah did to Samson. Because that's how the enemy works. He'll send the prostitute in to pollute the people of God. If you follow biblical history, that's been Satan's major tactic since day one. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless you all. Love you in Jesus. Amen.